So the first moon landing took place 50 years ago yesterday, July 20th. I think back of the memories that probably every 12-year-old boy had in the country at that time of wanting to become an astronaut. But I realized after time that my parents wouldn't let me, because they told me the sky's the limit. But in reading about the events that took place then on that day, the landing on the moon took place at 4:17 p.m. Eastern Time. The next day, the 21st, they lifted off from the surface at 1:54 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you do your math really quickly, that means they were on the moon less than 24 hours on that first initial visit. They explored the surface of the moon for 2 hours and 31 minutes total. The area that they covered was approximately the size of a football field. That was about it. But yet it was the beginning. It was the beginning. You have to realize that when President Kennedy in 1961 said that we would go to the moon, he said it would be hard, but probably understated it in many different ways. For example, at that time, they didn't have rockets. They didn't even have launch pads for those rockets. They didn't have spacesuits. They didn't have computers that they could put on the spacecraft. They didn't have microgravity food. And we all fondly remember Tang in those days. It is said that they didn't have what they would need. But even more so, they didn't even know what they would need. They had questions. Would the men up on the moon be able to think in microgravity conditions? Would their minds even work? They didn't know. They questioned that. What course would they take to get to the moon? And once leaving the moon, how would you calculate the rendezvous between the two spacecraft uniting once again? There were questions about what they would find on the surface. They figured it was dust and dirt and sand and so forth. But they had questions and thoughts that it might be even so deep that they couldn't land on it. They just didn't know. The people in the nation were actually divided over this at the time. Because remember that there were the protests of the 60s after all. But there were questions about whether it was worth the money and the time and the effort that was put into the program. So in 1961, when the original proposal was made, NASA was given $1 million to spend for the year. And that's, of course, a lot of money. But 5 years later, they were spending $1 million every 3 hours, 24 hours a day, in order to make this work, involving hundreds of thousands of people. So it was the beginning. And by doing so, it just expanded the imaginations of the people on how they would think and solving all the problems and the questions that rose. And even today, it brings us the Oreo Marshmallow Moon 50th Anniversary Cookie. But imagine the moon being that far distant place for all of the Earth's history. And it was now reachable. I reflect on Jesus' ministry, his brief ministry. It is estimated that Jesus' ministry lasted about 3 years. 3 years in all the history of the world, we have that period of time where Jesus was present, that walked the surface of this world, had encounters with people like you and I. That brief period of time where then God comes near. We talked last week about the parable of the Samaritan. And by doing so, Jesus defining love for neighbor. Who is one's neighbor? The question is asked. The answer being the one who is in need. And the one showing that love is from the tribe and race of people that had faced great prejudice for centuries. A people who had been degraded and disparaged. It is a man from this tribe. It is a man from this people that embodied God's kingdom. Realizing first and foremost, and something for us to remember today in being part of God's kingdom, there are no borders. There are no borders. And so then, from that parable, we go into the story of the sisters, Martha and Mary. And a contrast between them, one who is serving and one who is listening. Neither one is wrong, but Jesus is, of course, making a point. Martha takes on the traditional role of the day. She has accepted the division of roles between men and women, symbolized in the home itself. The kitchen belonged to the women. The public room was where the men would meet. So there are a couple things to take from the story as we read it. Martha assumes the best way to serve Jesus. But the question is, though, how are we to serve one another? How are we to determine the ways in which we serve one another? For Jesus, it is to see into the heart of the one you desire to help. To forget your own plans, to forget your own conclusions, but to ask, what do you need? What do you need? And then provide, and then serve. The other point of the story is truly astonishing. For Mary is behaving as a man would in the world of that day. Mary sits at the feet of the teacher. She takes on the male role, one of listening and one of learning, one of focusing on what the master has to share. For the result then is for the student to be like the teacher. The student is the would-be teacher. And Mary crosses all the barriers and all the boundaries and assumes that role herself as a woman. And Jesus accepts her and encourages her to do so. To listen carefully. And by doing so, then you would be able to speak and to share the message yourself. So then, from our past week and from our story today, we learn of the kingdom. One overflowing with the love of God. There is great value placed on every human being. This week I came across an article written by an author of American Religion and Cultural Trends. And in this article, she writes, A Bad Week for the God of Love. And she writes of her shock, of her grief that she experienced, and watching how people in our own nation responded and acted. And she asked the question of her husband, where did these people go to Sunday school? Didn't they sing like all of us, Jesus loves the little children? And in that song, all the children are precious. Each and every one. always within the Christian community. There have been far too many, I believe, who have reflected a view of God, of one who is tough and strict and judgmental. It's like a picturing of an emperor God who sits upon the throne and makes decisions. And so the message then that is passed along is about winning. And even more so, a hostility to those one is against. It's a message that many Christians have carried for centuries. And we hear from today how they divide and separate and make distinctions amongst people. A bad week for the God of love. But what have we lost from a Jesus who came near? A Jesus who walked and sat and taught to those who would listen. Are we listening today? What about the mysterious Jesus, who in many ways we still know so little about? How about the Jesus who talked about a God of creating and recreating and renewal? Have we lost the Jesus of compassion, of understanding, of love, the one of welcome and acceptance and approval? Of no matter where you may be in your life. Have we forgotten? After Apollo 11 came Apollo 12. You know the third man to set foot on the moon? You might remember years and years ago there was American Express commercials, and the question was asked, "Do you know who I am?" And he was one of the people in those commercials. "Do you know who I am?" Very few people would remember, and probably no one knows today, the third man to set foot on the moon, Pete Conrad. Pete Conrad was known for his humor. He was called the Bart Simpson of astronauts later. And upon stepping on the moon then, it is recorded that he said, "Man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me." And Pete was making fun of himself of being only 5'3" tall and short in stature. But we forget. We forget the visions that Jesus brought. And the visions and the imaginations that things like the moon landing should stir up in us. Do you know about Apollo? Apollo, of course, was the son of Zeus in Greek mythology. But he was the god of healing. What a wonderful message to send up into space, that we are a people of healing. And shouldn't that be the one we have here amongst us today? For it is here that Jesus came, the Son of God, bringing that message of healing. That should be what fills our imagination. That should be what fills our minds and our hearts of who we are and all that we are yet to be. Amen.